You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Today we are continuing the series that we've been in for the past few weeks called Pressure Points. And we're talking about these pressure points, these issues that we face in life that push back on us, that can either limit us or lift us spiritually. Pressure points come in all different shapes and sizes. It can be a difficult person in your life. It can be a season of suffering. It can be some temptation. It can be a sickness, but it's something that pushes back on you and can become a limiting factor to your spiritual growth. But we believe with God's help, with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the principles of God's word, what used to limit us can become something that actually is a springboard to lift us to the next level of our spiritual growth. That's what this series has been all about. And so we've been studying the New Testament book of James. James is a great source to help us navigate these pressure points that we're facing that can make us or break us. Because James is all about just pure wisdom. James is just, it's like pure gold. It is wisdom that leads to wholeness, to completion, to maturity, because God wants you to have everything that he needs you to have so you can be everything that he wants you to be. And so that's what James is all about. We're going to get back into the book of James in just a moment. Let me set the message up this way. Most of you know I grew up in the New Orleans area, New Orleans boy, born and raised. I married a New Yorker. That's how I heard the clear call of God to come to New York. Hallelujah. But I grew up in Louisiana, and Louisiana is known as the sportsman's paradise. In fact, we have that on our license plates because Louisiana is known for hunting and for fishing, and outdoorsmen, you know, have great opportunities. And particularly in South Louisiana, where I grew up, we have some of the best fishing in the world. We have both saltwater fishing and freshwater fishing. We've got great access to Lake Pontchartrain, to the Gulf of Mexico for all of the saltwater fishing. And then in the bayous and the swamps, we have freshwater fishing. So if you're a fisherman and you've never been to South Louisiana, you'd love it down there. But so I grew up doing some fishing. I can't say I was an avid fisherman. I was a suburban boy who went fishing every now and then. But I remember one time going fishing with my aunt and uncle, my uncle Ralph and my aunt Kathy. Now, my aunt Kathy, she grew up on the bayou, okay, like Bobby Boucher on the bayou. Like, she knew how to, like, she grew up fishing probably like every day as a kid. This woman knew how to fish, okay? And so I remember getting up early that morning, and she told my uncle exactly where to bring the boat, okay? He may have been navigating, but she was the captain of the ship. And so she showed us where to go, and we got all of our rods and our reels all set up and our bait, and we started fishing. And man, my Aunt Kathy, she's just reeling them in. She's just pulling them in, redfish, speckled trout. Like, she's just pulling them in like crazy. And I'm like, I've got nothing over here. Like, are we fishing in the same water or what? Like, what's going on your side of the boat, right? But every now and then she would come over and check on me, and she'd say, oh, no, you need to switch. You need to switch from live bait to this lure. They're biting on this now. She knew exactly what they were biting on. She knew where to go. And the thing is, you know, I kind of felt a little bit of, like, you know, my manhood, you know, that pride that men have. I'm like, I'm getting outfished like bad by my Aunt Kathy. But she knew what she was doing. See, a good fisherman or fisherwoman knows where to go, where the fish are biting, right? They know what to use to lure those fish. They know what the fish are biting on. They know where to go. They know what time to get out and go fishing. And I'll tell you one thing, growing up in South Louisiana, when we went fishing, we usually got up at 4 o'clock in the morning because you wanted to be out there when those fish were hungry and hitting that water first thing in the morning. And my aunt knew that. Now, hold that thought for just a moment. We're going to come back to that, and it's going to make sense in just a moment. Today, we're going to look at James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. Every week, we've been beginning in James chapter 1, because think of James chapter 1 as a key to the rest of the book. In James chapter 1, he raises all of the pressure points, the different issues that he goes on to discuss in the rest of the letter. Okay, so I told you to read James chapter 4. For the sake of time, we're not going to get to James 4 this morning, but you're going to get to it in your life groups this week. So if you're meeting in life groups, you've been watching some videos produced by my pastor, Pastor Jeff, these wonderful teaching videos where we're digging deeper into James. So you're going to get into James chapter 4 this week. Your outside reading, for those of you who are reading along with us, how many of you have been reading James with us? Let me see your hands. Good. I see hands going up all over the place. That's the best way to get the most out of this series. Be reading with us. So if you're reading this week, read James chapter 3. Okay? I know some of you have been reading sequentially. Maybe you've already read all the way through, but read James chapter 3 to be ready for next Sunday. We'll hit James chapter 4 in life groups. But today, let's look at James 1, verses 13 through 15. I'm using the NIV. If you have your Bible, James is in the New Testament, second half of the Bible. Keep going. You'll find James. If you're using a digital device or whatever, I'm using the NIV translation. Are you ready this morning? All right, here we go. James writes this: when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So James tells us that temptation can be a pressure point in our lives. This is one of the pressure points that we all experience. I don't have to ask you if you're experiencing this. We've all experienced and are experiencing some temptation toward sin, toward brokenness. And here's the deal. If we keep taking the bait, every time that lure is lured by us, every time it comes swimming by us, like that fish, we're going to get pulled out of water every time. We're going to keep losing. And temptation can actually become a pressure point in our lives that limits us from growing spiritually. So today, we want to talk about overcoming. We want to talk about, with God's help, breaking through those temptations that have been barriers to our growth, because we want to move forward. How many of you want to move forward? You want to be in victory. You want to grow spiritually. Awesome. I see hands going up. That's a good sign. We'll pray for the rest of you, okay? All right. So look at this. In verse 13, okay, first of all, James says this: when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. Here's the first thing you have to know. God doesn't send temptation. It is never God's will for you to sin. God doesn't send temptation into your life. He may allow it, just like we've talked about suffering. God isn't the author of suffering. Sometimes he allows us to go through a difficult season. Sometimes he allows us to go through temptation, but God isn't sending it into your life. You need to know this morning, because what we believe about God really affects everything. God is not toying with you. God is not playing games with you. God is not like the gods of Greek mythology. Any of you remember reading about Greek mythology like in junior high? Sometimes the gods come down, right? And they like seduce people, and they do, like, they get caught up in their own little temptations, right? This is not the one true living God of the Bible. He is not the one sending temptation into your life. It's never God's will for you to sin. It's always God's will for you to win. God is on your side. I have good news for you this morning. God is working on your behalf for you to be victorious. God wants you to win. He wants you to come out on the other side of whatever temptation you're facing. He wants you to come out victorious. He wants you to come out stronger. He wants you to come out better. He is on your side. He's working with you. So you ought to start smiling right about now, because some of you grew up with a religious mindset that God was after you, that he was always looking for you to screw up, that he was sending, like, you know, temptations into your life so the minute you messed up, he could zap you. But that's not the God of grace that we see in the Bible. And so if God isn't tempting us and bringing temptation into our lives, what's causing us to be tempted, you might ask? That's a good question. Look at verses 14 through 15. This is what James goes on to say. He says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil, think selfish, desire, and enticed. This word in the original Greek means, this word for desire means passionate desire, eagerness, lust. And so James goes on to say this in verse 15. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. And so James is telling us that the source of our temptation is our own sinful nature, okay? Christians have believed for 2,000 years and even beyond that humanity was made in God's image, okay? We are made in the image of God, where we have this great capacity to do great and beautiful things with our lives, but we also believe that something happened. It's called the curse of sin, the fall of humanity, so that humanity finds itself in a broken condition. And all you have to do is look around you every day, put on the news every day, and we see that very evident in display all around us. And if we're honest with ourselves, we all have our own stuff, our own brokenness. And so it's almost like there is this magnet that is pulling on our lives in the wrong direction. We don't need anybody to help us make selfish decisions, do we? How many of you parents in here have discovered in raising your children that you didn't have to teach your children how to be selfish? They were perfectly capable of developing selfishness on their own. Where are you at, parents? Come on, let's have a group rehab session this morning, right? No, you have to train your kids. You got to teach them to be polite. You got to teach them to share. You got to teach them to think about somebody else. This is all the stuff that we like talk about day in and day out, and you know, day in and out raising children, because naturally they have figured out how to be selfish and make selfish decisions. And so here's the pattern of temptation. James says, evil desire conceives and gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, leads to death. These are self-destructive behaviors. It seems like every time you put on the news these days, there is some celebrity, some person who was rich and famous and powerful, who seemed like they had it all together, who's made some kind of selfish decision that's caused them their life to become unglued. It's like all the time, right? And it's because we see this pattern at work in our lives. I don't know what you believe this morning. I don't know what your spiritual background is, but we see this kind of thing happening all the time. All the time. Now, there's another factor at work in temptation. One is our own broken condition as human beings. But there's also another factor, and that's spiritual warfare. Let me put it this way. You were born on a battlefield. You were born on a battlefield between good and evil. There is a cosmic battle playing out between good and evil. We believe good is going to win, but there is a war raging, and you and I are in the middle of it. It's a very intense conflict. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, he says that our battle, our struggle is actually not against flesh and blood. We live in this everyday real life, and we kind of tend to think of it as flesh and blood, but he says actually it's a spiritual battle. There's a battle going on in the heavenlies, in the spiritual realm, and so you better believe there's going to be some spiritual warfare in your life. Now, I'm not one of those people who goes around believing that the devil's behind every rock and the devil made me do it and I blame everything on him. But here's the reality. If you understand this, we live in a spiritual war, in a spiritual world with a spiritual war that is raging. And so those are two things to consider. And it can be overwhelming because we're talking about overcoming temptation. Okay, so I have a fallen nature. There's a spiritual war going on. Pastor Jeremy, give me some good news here to help me out. Well, think about those fish for just a moment. We talked about fishing, right? Can you imagine, like, what if the fish could talk to each other and help each other out? You know, like they could get together. We know we can't do this, but wouldn't it be interesting if the fish could, like, gather together and say, hey, you know, if you see one of those shiny things randomly come into the water, don't bite it, man. Don't bite the shiny thing. Bill bit the shiny thing the other day, and he was taken away. The aliens took him up out of the water, and he was gone. We've never seen him again. What if they could talk and help each other out, right? Like, we can help each other out. Don't bite that thing. Don't smoke that thing. Don't click that thing. Don't hang around that person. Don't indulge that desire. And that's what James is saying to us today. He's giving us wisdom to help us break through temptation. So in order to get past this pressure point, we have to learn to conquer the temptations that we're facing right now. Because temptation is not an obstacle to my progress. It doesn't have to stop there. It's an opportunity to learn to overcome. Temptation doesn't have to have the final word. It feels like that at times when we're dealing with some habitual pattern, some brokenness, something that's pulling on us in the wrong direction. It can feel like, I'm never going to overcome that weakness. Pastor Jeremy, I've battled with that thing for years. You have no idea. I've struggled with this addiction, this habit, this attitude. But here's the thing. No, this morning, we believe that we can be victorious with God's help. This is an opportunity to learn to overcome. To go to the next level. With God's help, we're going to break through that thing and continue to grow spiritually. And so we're going to just talk about some just pure wisdom from the book of James today. We're going to talk about getting to the next level. The other day, my three boys called me over and they said they were playing this video game. They were playing Nintendo Wii. And they said, Dad, we need you to help us beat this level because I appreciate the fact that my kids have some respect for their dad's video game skills from growing up in the 80s and the 90s. Thank you. Okay. And so they called me over to help them on this video game. And actually, I couldn't beat this level. I tried. It was really hard. And Aaron eventually figured it out, and they got past it. But it reminded me when I was a kid growing up, in like the late 80s, my parents got us a Nintendo. Come on, where's the Nintendo generation at? And my parents, like, they weren't about to indulge us with a Super Nintendo and all these amazing things. It was like a Nintendo. That's all you're getting. And we were, like, years behind all of our other friends, okay? And they would let us play for, like, a half an hour. They're like, shut that thing off. You need to go outside and play. And I'm glad they did. They were right. And so, but I remember, you know, the very first game we had was Super Mario Brothers. That was it. It was like just Super Mario Brothers. My parents didn't give us a budget to get anything else. So you better figure out how to become an expert at Super Mario Brothers. And I remember when we first started playing it, it was difficult. Like we couldn't get past the levels and you had to jump over this. You had to jump on this guy, go down this pipe, dodge this fireball that's coming at you. All the things you had to do to beat Super Mario Brothers. And at first it was difficult. But, you know, after a while playing on the Nintendo week after week, like we started mastering those levels, right? Like I could beat Super Mario Brothers in my sleep with my eyes closed. I could get past those levels. And so here's the idea today. Every temptation is an opportunity for you to move on to the next level. For you to learn, right? So that you're not stuck in the same old thing, stuck on the same level, but you can get past that thing and move on to the next level in your spiritual growth. How many of you want to grow spiritually? Come on. How many of you want to just break through this morning? And so the question is how? Isn't that the million-dollar question? How do we do that? Well, this morning we're going to be very, very practical. James is really just pure wisdom. What I love about the book of James is it's just so practical. James just speaks the stuff we're going through. Sometimes James gets up in our face and just challenges us. But there's one thing you can say about it. It's practical, just godly wisdom for living. I don't know about you, but I need some more of that in my life. And so here's what I want you to do today. We're going to ask ourselves three questions. Three questions that we need to ask ourselves. You need to ask yourself that will help you overcome. And I want you to write these things down. When you came in today, you should have received some note sheets. Pull those out. Jot down some notes. This is going to be some good stuff for you to read over and pray over during the week. And here's the first question. What is the bait I tend to fall for? First question you need to ask yourself to set yourself up to overcome. What is the bait that I tend to fall for? What is the lure? What is the shiny thing in your life that you find yourself biting on every time and it causes you to fail? See, we need to know when and what we're vulnerable to. We have to figure this out. We've got to get serious about this. We've got to be intentional about figuring out when and what we're vulnerable to. Sometimes there are times when you are more vulnerable than other times. There are times maybe when you're tired, when you're frustrated, when you're offended, that you're vulnerable. And it might lead you to do something. And what are those things? You can think about them today. We're going to get into them in just a moment. But there are certain behaviors, certain things that you find yourself turning to. And right now, it's very fresh in your mind that you find that you are vulnerable to. And so I want to give you three basic categories of temptation, okay? This isn't an exhaustive list, but three basic categories that I think will help you out, that will help you get in touch with what some of these vulnerabilities are. And so here's the first one. The first one are sins of the flesh. These are appetite temptations. These are the temptations, like when I say the word temptation, these are the things that probably come to mind. If we were playing a word association game today and I said temptation, like these are the things that would come to mind for most of us. And here's the thing about sins of the flesh, about these appetite sins. What happens with them is we self-medicate our emptiness and our pain with something pleasurable. And sins of the flesh are pleasurable. There's something that gives you a hit of dopamine to your brain and it feels good for just a moment. They come in an array of things. It could be anything from overeating to overworking to drinking too much to sexual addictions to full-blown like drug addiction, right? There's a sliding scale here, but there are all these different behaviors that bring temporary pleasure into our lives. And here's the problem. They are not healthy or satisfactory long term. They may give you some temporary pleasure, but they never leave you satisfied. They give us a temporary relief, but when they're over, they leave us craving more, and they leave us with this unhealthy dependence in our lives so that we begin to have this compulsive appetite for something that's not healthy for us. And with that comes guilt and this really these really bad cravings and dependence. I'll give you this analogy. I used to be a youth pastor years ago, and I remember the teenagers, they used to always drink these energy drinks. Some of you have used energy drinks before to help you get through a long night or pulling an all-nighter or something. And what is an energy drink designed to do? It's designed to give you a high dose of sugar and caffeine, right? And so what happens is it gives you a sugar rush, and it may last for like an hour or however well your metabolism works. But once you burn that sugar off, what happens? You crash, and then you're worse off than you were before. And that's how the sins of the flesh work. Now, let me say this morning. Don't get this twisted, okay? Because what we can begin to think is that everything pleasurable in life is something that God wants to keep us from. Some of you grew up with that mindset. It was a religious mindset that the sinful things were where the real pleasure was, and God didn't want you to enjoy those things, and so you kind of always felt like on the outs with God. Listen, God is the author of pleasure. There's nothing that human beings are doing on planet Earth under the sun that is pleasurable that surprises God, okay? Food, drink, sex, not surprising God. He invented it all, okay? And he's not bashful or ashamed when he looks down on planet Earth. And so think of your desires this way. Your desires are like a river. A river is powerful. A river is moving in a direction. And a river can be a good thing. We need rivers. We need rivers to move goods. But here's the thing. We need rivers to stay within their banks, don't we? When rivers overflow their levees and their boundaries, that's called flooding and destruction. How many of you know we want the Hudson River to stay right where it is? It's beautiful. We like it. But we like it where it is, right? If it overflows, bad things are going to happen. Bad things are going to happen. Thankfully, we don't have that problem here. And so that's the thing. God, it's not that your desires are bad. It's not that pleasure is bad. It's that your desires have to be channeled. And when they overflow their banks, they bring destruction. So God, like any good parent, wants good things for our lives. He wants good things for our lives. But sometimes our kids, their appetites run out of control. Like they want, ice cream for breakfast. And ice cream is good. And we like when our kids get ice cream every now and then. But you ain't having it for breakfast. Hello? And so God wants us to channel our appetites. Okay, that's sins of the flesh. Here's the second one, sins of the heart. Is this good? You guys with me? Sins of the heart. These are more internal. This is a little bit more intuitive. Some of you are internal people. You'll resonate with this. This is when we get offended, when we get frustrated, when we get disappointed with someone. Someone hurts us and we bury those feelings deep down on the inside. We don't take them to God. We don't go to somebody else who can help us. And we end up just being flat out miserable. Just being miserable. For some of you, like that first list really makes sense to you. That's where you go. But some of you, you're internalizers. And you tend to isolate. You tend to pull away. You tend to hold on to offense to where what's on the inside of you gets really unhealthy. And you struggle with that. And it's a stopper for you. It's a limiting factor in your life. And remember, we just came off of this series in the Psalms. If you're new to our church, go back and listen to the podcast. But we talked about how the psalmist helps us do what? Take our emotions to God in prayer. Not bury them, not stuff them, but to bring them to God in prayer so that we can find healing and understanding. So those are sins of the heart. Then there's a third category, and that's sins of the mind. What happens with sins of the mind is that this is when we believe things that are not true that lead us to a place of discouragement. We believe lies. The enemy of our souls whispers lies to us. Sometimes someone else says something about us that's not true, and we grab a hold of that, or we tell ourselves lies about who we are, what we've done, our circumstances. You know, the enemy of your soul can come alongside of you and say, you think you're a Christian, but the reality is you're a fake. Look at how you're messing up all the time. Or you think you're free from that thing. The reality is you're never going to be free from that thing. This is who you actually are. Or sometimes it'll tell you, that voice will come to you and tell you, your circumstances are always going to be this way. I'm always going to be a loser. I'm always going to be stuck in this situation. I'm never going to be able to get past this. These are my circumstances, and they dictate who I am. And for some of you, you're wrestling with that right now. You have some voices. You have some lies that you have digested about who you are. And it's led you to a place of brokenness. And so here's the thing. When we believe bad things, it leads to bad actions. How many of you know that's true? If you have bad judgment, if you have bad knowledge, bad information in your mind, it can lead to bad judgment, doesn't it? Bad things in your life. The very first sin in the Bible was based on a lie. Many of you heard this story in Sunday school or catechism, or if you didn't grow up in church, we all know this story because it's so popular, but it's the story of Adam and Eve and their fall, right? And what happens in the story is the serpent comes to Eve and tempts her to eat this forbidden fruit, right? And God had said, if you eat this forbidden fruit, it's going to bring the curse of death. And what does the serpent say to Eve? You're not going to die if you eat this fruit. He tells a lie. He says that, you know, no, God knows that you're going to become like him and you're going to have knowledge of good and evil. And so the serpent deceives Eve. She believes a lie, and it leads to her downfall. And so if you want to overcome these temptations, you need to get really honest with yourself about what your vulnerabilities are. Okay? This message this morning can be another pep rally. It can be an inspirational moment where you leave and say, oh, it wasn't that good. Or you can really dig into these different points we're talking about. Have an honest conversation with yourself, somebody who loves you, and take spiritual stock of your life. Because if you'll do that and really begin to think about these things and pray into them, you can really see freedom in your life. So I want to encourage you, don't let this just be another inspirational moment. Do this work. Do the homework of your soul this week and look through those different categories. I'm sure for some of you, as we were going through them, different things were speaking to you. Maybe you had something in all three categories. But let's get real. Let's get honest, right? The first step to recovery is admitting you have a problem. And we're all here today because we're in need of the grace of God, right? We're working through this together. We're in it together. And so do the homework of your soul, okay? All right, here's the second thing. The first thing is knowing what bait you're going to fall for. The second thing is, what is my escape hatch? You got to know your escape hatch. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Paul's saying, don't get too spiritually cocky and proud. Remember your dependence on God, because just at the moment when you think you're strong is when you might be weak and you might fall. And then he says in verse 13, no temptation has ever overtaken you except what is common to mankind. Now that would be good news for you, because what happens with our temptations and our sinfulness and our bad habits is we tend to tell ourselves, I'm the only person on planet Earth who's struggling with this thing. And if people knew this thing about me, they would all think I'm a terrible human being. When the reality is there is nothing new under the sun. Your sin is not going to about to surprise God. He's seen it all before, okay? We're all human beings. We all have something. We all have our stuff. But here's the good news. Paul goes on to say this, and God is faithful. Everybody say faithful. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. It's an escape hatch. God wants you to be victorious. God may be allowing you to go through some temptation, but he's going to provide a way out for you every time so that you don't have to sin. It's just whether or not we're going to choose to use that escape hatch. And here's the problem. God wants to make a way out for us, but most people don't have a plan for when temptation arrives. They haven't been intentional about it. See, once you know your weakness, which we talked about in the last point, being honest about our vulnerabilities, once you know your weakness, that's the time that you need to develop a God-inspired strategy in advance so that you can be ready next time whatever happens, whatever comes into your life. You have a plan for success, okay? Plan to escape. Let me give you an example from the book of Genesis. There was a famous man, some of you know his story, a man named Joseph. He was a son of the patriarchs. There's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob was the father of Joseph. Jacob was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And one of his sons, Joseph, went on to father two of those tribes. Amazing story in Genesis. If you've never read it before, just Google Joseph. He has such an inspirational life. And Joseph, his story, the backstory of him is his brothers sold him into slavery in Egypt when he was a young man. And so he went to Egypt, but God's hand was upon him. God prospered him everywhere he went. And one of his first assignments, because God's hand was upon him, he ended up working for this Egyptian official named Potiphar. And Potiphar saw the hand of God on Joseph's life and put him in charge of his whole household. Like everything Joseph touched was prospering. But there was one little problem. Potiphar's wife had her eye on Joseph. The scripture says he was good looking. He was a stud, okay? And so she started seducing him. She started coming on to him. And she started saying, hey, Joseph, why don't you come to bed with me? And there's one point where she came on so strong that she grabbed him by his outer garment and Joseph ripped it away and he ran away from her. He ran the other direction. Here's the point. If you're dealing with sins of flesh, sometimes you just got to run away. Come on, like Forrest Gump. Run, Forrest, run. This is not the time to be brave. This is not the time to test your resolve. You need to run away like Joseph. Joseph didn't go into the bedroom with Potiphar's wife and say, now let's sit down and discuss this like sensible human beings while you're undressing right now. We're going to talk about what the options are. Joseph was a red-blooded Israelite with testosterone pumping through his veins. He took off running and got out of there. I love that prayer of Forrest Gump. Lord, please make me a bird so I can fly far, far, far away. Come on. Sometimes that's one of the best prayers you can pray, okay? Lord, help me to get out of this situation. Sometimes you got to run away. You got to get away from that thing, okay? If you're struggling with something, man, if you're struggling with drinking too much and your friends are having a party where everybody's getting hammered, don't go to that party if you're trying to be sober. You got to have safeguards in your life. You got to have lifelines in your life. You need to put some boundaries in your life. This past week, the world is mourning the death of Billy Graham and celebrating his life, a life well lived. And one of the things that Billy Graham is so known for is he was a man of integrity. This man ministered for all of these years and never had a scandal, no major accusations against his life. But if you know anything about Billy Graham didn't trust himself. Billy Graham put boundaries in his life. All kind of stories I've read about how Billy Graham set boundaries. He put men of God around him to keep him from sin, to keep him from accusation. If you're dealing with sins of the heart, if your heart's hurt, if you're somebody who tends to grab a hold of just bitterness and unforgiveness and you tend to isolate, get some help. Read some books on emotional, spiritual health. Go to a Christian counselor. Get a friend who can pray with you, somebody who's gifted that can pray for healing in your soul. Don't isolate yourself. That's the time to run to somebody who can help you out. Another believer who can pray with you. If you're dealing with sins of the mind, you're tempted to believe these lies that come into your mind, then put the truth of God's word into your mind. The scripture says, I will hide God's word in my heart that I might not sin against God. So you got to choose which voice are you going to believe. Find somebody else. You might say, well, Pastor Jeremy, I don't know the word of God that well. Get into a life group. Get around another believer who's been walking with the Lord and knows his word and ask them, can you help me find a verse because I'm struggling with this lie? Are you tracking with me? You got to have an escape hatch. You got to have a plan in advance. You don't have to stay stuck. You can walk in freedom. Right now, it feels like I'm never going to break out of this cycle. How do I get past this thing? That's the lie of temptations. I'm always going to be stuck here. No, no. With God's help, you can identify that thing, and you can, with his help, have a wise plan that's based in godly wisdom to escape whatever it is you're struggling with. Here's the third thing. The third thing is, what will I run to instead? So what is the bait I'm tempted to fall for? What are my vulnerabilities? What's my escape hatch? How do I get out of it? And what will I run to instead? I want you to think about this for a moment, because we don't just want to run away. We want to be intentional. We want to run to something. A lot of times we get so focused on avoiding whatever it is that we're dealing with, and how do I stop running to these unhealthy things? As I gave that list before, some of you resonated. There were some things on that list. Yeah, I'm tempted to do that. I'm tempted to overeat when I stress out. I'm tempted to drink too much, whatever. You don't want to just run away. You want to have something to run to. Because what you run to is what you will become dependent on. If you didn't write anything down that I said today, I want to encourage you to put that in your notes. That's the heart of this message today. What you run to will determine what you become dependent on, because those things that you're running to, you're becoming dependent on them, whether they're healthy or not. And so the point is, with God's help, is to train yourself to run to healthy things. When you're facing temptation, run to God. Run to His Word. Run to worship. Fill your life with godly things. Get in relationships with other believers. Replenish yourself with healthy activities, with exercise. You got to have a plan in advance. If you're struggling and your eating's been out of control and you're eating way too much junk food, well, first of all, you got to get the junk food out of the house. How many of you know that's true? Because when the cravings come, you're screwed. Let's just tell the truth. You're in trouble. If you got the junk food in the house, you're going down. Get it out. But then you got to put something else there that you can enjoy to eat. Come on, I like to eat too much. If it's just all about dieting and avoiding, then we're all in trouble. You got to have something to run to, right? If you're married and you want to have a healthy, good marriage, you're trying to stay faithful to your spouse, but there's somebody in your life that you're attracted to and you don't even want to, you know that this could go down the wrong path. Listen, you got to run to your spouse. Replenish yourself with your spouse. And if you're thinking what I'm thinking, yes, we're thinking the same thing. Replenish yourself with your spouse. Hallelujah. God is the God of good desires. God is the God of pleasure. You got to run to something healthy. You got to run to something good for you. You got to fill your life with good things. You basketball players will know what I'm talking about, basketball fans. The best defense is a good offense. Come on, sometimes you got to take it to the enemy. You got to have a good offense. What happens is we live our lives as Christians playing defense so much. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to look at that. I'm going to stay away from this person. I'm not going to do this. We get so focused on what we're not going to do, but you got to have something to run to. You got to have something to embrace for your life. And when you begin to fill your life with healthy things, you begin to find peace. You begin to find healing and godly things. Godly pleasures are guilt-free. Aren't you thankful for guilt-free pleasures in your life? They're whole. They don't leave you with a sense of condemnation. They don't leave you with that crash that you experience. They don't leave you with that compulsiveness that controls you. No, they leave you whole. And you can say it as well with my soul. Things are good. That's what happens when you fill your life with godly things. You got to have something to run to. Stop depending on the things in your life that haven't brought you health, that have only brought you hurt, unhealthiness. And so as we close this morning, I have some good news for you. The good news is there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. I don't have to ask if you have temptation. I don't have to ask if you have some area of your life that's broken, because guess what? We're all in the same boat. We all have our stuff. We all have our weakness. We all have the bait that brings us down. We all have temptation. And some of you are struggling with some things right now. Something on that list just spoke to you, leapt off the page as we're talking about it this morning. But the good news this morning is there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. There is redemption in Jesus Christ. There is healing in Jesus Christ. There is freedom. The gospel breaks the power of shame and guilt. You can put your hands together this morning, because the gospel doesn't just forgive you. It breaks the power of sin and guilt and shame over your life. Because that's what happens when we give in to temptation. We feel the weight of it. We feel the guilt. We feel the condemnation. But here's the good thing. When you go to God in forgiveness, it's like God permanently deletes your sin. You ever lose a file on the computer that you didn't back up yet, and it just goes into cyber oblivion and you're so mad? Come on, the good thing about going to God, we have this feeling like, here I am, I'm going to God again. Can I go to God yet again for forgiveness for the same old stupid sin, the same old habit? And it's like when you come to God, He's like, what sin? What sin? I don't even remember, because I erased it. I deleted it. It's permanently deleted. There is redemption in Jesus Christ. What God has done for us, this is the ultimate hope. What God has done for you in Jesus Christ changes you from the inside out. Because you would say today, Pastor, you don't know how much I've strived. You know how much I've tried to overcome that thing that I turn to, that addiction, that tendency, that attitude. When I get hurt, I hold on to it. It's so easy to believe things about myself that have been there for years. And you know how long I've tried to get rid of that thing. And here's what I want to tell you this morning. The gospel is not try harder. The gospel is let Christ do for you what you could never do for yourself. The gospel brings freedom. It transforms us from the inside out so that we change on the inside. It's about aiming your desires toward a good goal. It's not about playing defense. We're going to play offense and say, God, I want my heart to be aligned with what you want for my life. It's not about just behaving better. It's about becoming a new person. Come on, whoever's in Christ is a new person. The scripture says this: if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. And you might say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. Some of the desires of my heart are messed up. I want things in my life that I know aren't right. But here's the good thing. As you delight yourself in the Lord, he changes the desires of your heart so that you begin to desire what he wants for your life. The good, pleasing, whole, and perfect gifts that he has for you. That's good news this morning. It's not always going to be a struggle. It's not always going to be a battle. I really believe God's going to give us breakthrough in different areas of our life so that it doesn't always feel like I'm just trying to avoid this thing. But I really believe God is going to literally rewire you from the inside out so that you begin to desire what he wants for your life. So before I pray for you this morning, here's the final thing I want you to know. The temptation, the brokenness, a sinful magnet that pulls on your life doesn't have to define you. What God is saying to you today is who you are in Christ is what defines you. Because the ultimate lie that we believe is when we fall, when we give in to whatever that thing is, that that's who we are. And so we just give up and throw in the towel. But I want you to hear the voice of your heavenly Father, the voice of grace and love today above all the other voices. And he's whispering to you, you are my son. You are my daughter. That's who you are. That's your real identity. And all that other stuff about you, it's not who you are anymore. Listen to me this morning, church. It's not even who you are anymore. You're a son. You're a daughter. And you got to embrace that. You got to run to your identity in Jesus Christ. You got to live there. That's got to be the foundation. You got to keep coming back to that. When I've stumbled, I've learned to repent, but I've learned to say, God, literally pray out loud, God, this is not who I am anymore. I'm not going to be this person. This isn't going to define me. I'm not going to be limited by this, but God, by your grace, I'm overcoming this. And I'm coming out stronger on the other side. Come on. God is just good. He doesn't just forgive you. You come out on the other side even better, even stronger, because he's making you into something. Amen? I want to pray for you. Why don't you stand with me as we close out in prayer? It's a very personal time. If you're new to our church, we always have a moment of reflection, a moment of prayer at the end of our service. Would you make this personal this morning? I don't want this to be a feel-good moment. Come on, everybody stay tuned in. I don't want this to just be a feel-good moment. Don't leave this place today, church, with just an inspirational moment. But would you just do business this morning with God, with some things on that list? This is an opportunity to do that. And I want to encourage you, would you go home and spend some time thinking through this? Say, Holy Spirit, God, help me to have wisdom to come up with a godly plan and to get some godly people in my life. God, help me to run to some things that you want for my life that are healthy, that bring me to wholeness and quit running to what's hurt me in the past. That's our prayer today. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you so much that you're a God of grace, that you're a God of love, you're a God of freedom. God, I thank you that, Lord, this morning you are running to us, that, God, you love us just as we are, but you love us too much to leave us where we are. God, you want healing for our lives. God, you want us to be whole. God, you want us to walk in our identity as sons and as daughters. And so, God, today we just turn to you. We just say, God, help us. God, we're so tired of trying to do it on our own. We're so tired of our efforts. We're so tired of all the things that we've tried to do. God, we don't want to just keep trying harder, but today we're asking for your grace to change us from the inside out. God, for those who are struggling today with those sins of the flesh, with those appetites, God, I just speak freedom over them today. I thank you that in Jesus Christ, we're free. We're free from sin. We're dead to sin. We die to those things today, and we receive freedom. If that's you, just pray with me. God, I receive your freedom. Lord, for those who have sins of the heart, they're carrying around brokenness. They're carrying around bitterness. God, somebody left them. Somebody hurt them. Somebody left a mark on their heart, and it's defying them for so long. God, I thank you that today by your son, Jesus Christ, you are a God of healing. And so I speak healing over hearts this morning. If that's you today, your prayer is, Jesus, heal my heart today. Heal me from the inside out. Help me to know who I am in you. For those who are struggling with sins of the mind, they've believed a lie about themselves that's led them to a place of just being flat out miserable. God, today we choose to believe the truth of your word. We choose to hold on to the truth of your word. God, today we are aiming our desires at you today. We're not just going to be Christians who play defense, but God, today we're going to play offense. And today, God, we say, let our hearts be aligned with your heart for us. God, we want what you would want for our lives. And so we don't just run away from those things, but God, we are running to you today for your plan for our lives, for your purpose for our lives. And so I speak healing, I speak redemption, I speak grace, salvation, and freedom over your lives today. If you receive it into your life, would you say amen? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.